Of all our hearts this morning be acceptable to you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning continues in Mark, the 14th chapter, from verses 32 to 42. Having left the upper room following supper, and made their way to the Mount of Olives, we hear these words. Jesus and his disciples came to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to them, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him. He began to feel despair and was anxious. He said to them, "I'm very sad. It's as if I'm dying. Stay here and keep alert." Then Jesus went a short distance farther, and he fell to the ground. He prayed that if possible, he might be spared the time of suffering. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not what I want, but what you want." Jesus came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you stay alert for 1 hour? Stay alert and pray so that you won't give in to temptation. The spirit is eager, but the flesh is weak." And again, Jesus left them and prayed, repeating the same words. Again, when he came back, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know how to respond to him. A third time he came and said to them, "Will you sleep and rest all night? That's enough. The time has come for the Son of Man to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's go. Look, here comes my betrayer." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In recent weeks, this notion of giving up one's life for God has taken on some meaning for us. It wasn't that many weeks ago when many Christians in Syria were martyred because of their adherence to their faith. They refused to recant their belief in Jesus Christ, and so they were executed for it. Our Lenten study, we've been working through the 24 hours that changed the world from the time of the Last Supper through the crucifixion. And these last few weeks, we've been entertaining this question: what would I do if God asked me to give up my life for the good of the kingdom? The scripture passage today, I think, is one of the most challenging in the New Testament. It begins a series of difficult passages that we have difficulty envisioning or being able to stomach and accept. And this one in particular is troubling to us because it's hard to imagine, it's hard to accept that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, falls to the ground, asking to be relieved of the burden he's carrying, asking God to spare him. "I don't want to do this," he says. Or as the Message translates it, "Get me out of this." In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus at his most human. One of the great mysteries of our faith is the whole idea of the incarnation. God come to dwell and be among us. In the incarnation, Jesus is fully God and fully human. That's a mystery, right? How can that be? Jesus is fully God and fully human. He's not God occupying a human body any more than he is a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is both. It is a both and. He is fully God and fully human. And maybe this scene in the Garden of Gethsemane will help us to come to understand what that might mean. For months now, building up towards coming to Jerusalem, Jesus has been telling his followers, this is what's going to happen when we get to Zion. He told them, time and time and time again, he told them, when we get to Jerusalem, I will be betrayed, I'll be denied. The religious leaders will persecute me. The government leaders will prosecute me. I will be beaten. I will suffer. I will die on the cross. And on the third day, I will rise again. All three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, report that Jesus shared this with them three times. In Mark's Gospel, we're working with Mark this morning. In Mark's Gospel, that happens in chapter 8, verse 31. Chapter 9, verse 31. Chapter 10, verse 33. It is almost identical each time Jesus tells them, this is what's going to happen when we get to Jerusalem. Well, where are they now? They're in Jerusalem. And they've been there for 3 or 4 days. They are in the middle of their week in Jerusalem. And they just concluded supper where Jesus has said, one of you is going to betray me. And Simon Peter, you will deny me. And before the night is over, every one of you is going to abandon me. They're in Jerusalem, and everything is happening just as Jesus said it would. Everything is happening according to God's plan. God's plan that was put into place at the beginning of time. And certainly we come to know this since the birth of Jesus. When Mary was informed by the angel that she was pregnant, it was with the understanding that she was carrying the Messiah. John's Gospel tells us, 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And we know in the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, when Jesus is a mere 8 days old, Joseph and Mary take him to the temple, as was their tradition,
for him to be circumcised. And there he's scooped up by Simeon, who is just amazed that he has finally been able to witness the coming of the Messiah. And he tells Mary, says, the fortunes of many in Israel will rise and fall on him, and your heart, Mom, will be pierced with a sword. Everything is happening according to God's plan. God's plan for the salvation of the world. God's plan for the redemption of all creation. God's plan for the coming of the kingdom is all now contingent upon one thing: Jesus' obedience. Jesus' obedience. Because see, it's not a sure thing. Jesus prays to his Abba. Today we might translate that as Daddy. He's not praying to Almighty God. He's praying to his Father, Daddy. Daddy, you can do anything. You can do everything. So please do something about this now. Jesus does not want to go through with the plan. He doesn't want to suffer. He doesn't want to be crucified. He doesn't want to lose his friends. The human side of Jesus, the side of Jesus that's like us, that faces temptation, that faces challenges that we don't want to face, is in full force in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is prayerfully honest and candid with his Abba. He's wrestling with God. And three times, the scripture says, he prays the same prayer. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Please don't make me do this. Please get me out of this. However, not my will, but yours. Jesus is prayerfully coming to terms with what it means to be obedient unto death. He hasn't had to face that before, but now he does. It's becoming very real and very tangible. And he's having to choose whether or not he's going to be obedient. And so what does Jesus do in that case? He prays. He prays hard. Luke's gospel says he prays so hard his sweat is like drops of blood falling off his forehead. That's hard, folks. That's hard. Jesus is praying hard to his Abba to help him be strong, to be courageous. Jesus obeys God as a result of prayer. As we've talked about when we've all been together over the last few weeks, this Lenten season for me is not one of drudgery, despite the weather. It's not one of depression, despite the illnesses. This is a season of hope. This is a season in which God, Jesus, when he begins his ministry, says, the time is now. The kingdom of God is coming. Change your hearts, change your lives. That's a message of hope. And in this story we hear today, it too is a message of hope. Because Jesus is demonstrating to us the power of prayer. Jesus is demonstrating to us as human beings that it's hard sometimes being obedient and being faithful. That's hard. But he also holds up to us that there is hope for us if we can go to God in prayer and if we can learn the discipline of doing that. Jesus does that throughout the scriptures, doesn't he? All of the Gospels talk about Jesus going off to be alone for a little bit. Goes up on the mountains, goes up on the hillside, goes to places where he can talk with his Abba and share what's on his heart and what's on his mind. To not only seek God's will, but to be given the grace to obey it. I think this is a sign of hope for us too. I wonder sometimes if we make the excuse that we don't know what God wants us to do as a way of avoiding being obedient to God's will. I think more often than not, we do know what God requires of us. The scriptures are clear on that. What does the Lord require of you? We hear from the prophet Micah, but to do justice, to be compassionate, to walk humbly with God. What does Paul tell us? But we're to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all things give thanks to God, because that's our will through Jesus Christ, and do not quench the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus reframes for us, we are to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. Yeah, and people like that too. As the kids heard this morning. I think we do know God's will. We just don't always want to follow it. And so we look for ways that can help us get out of that. And that's the hope in Jesus this morning for us, I think, is that Jesus is showing us that to be obedient to God's will, we have to make a commitment and engage in a willingness to not only listen to God, but to seek God's courage and strength, to trust and obey when we walk with God. And if that's not enough message for hope for you this morning, try this one on. For our learning pleasure, we have Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Three times they hear explicitly what their task is, what they're supposed to do. For 1 hour, stay awake and watch. Jesus comes back, stay awake and watch. Third time, stay awake and watch. It's very clear what they're supposed to do, but they just can't do it. That's us, isn't it? We struggle with what it is that God is calling us to do, and in some cases because we can't, in some cases because we won't, but we struggle with that. But if, friends, if there is hope for Peter, James, and John, see, Peter and James will become martyrs for Jesus. They'll die for their faith. John, of course, becomes the writer of the gospel. Peter is the rock on whom Jesus built his church. When Jesus comes back during the 40 days after his resurrection, he breathes upon his apostles, those who denied and those who fled. He breathes upon them the Spirit of God and says, I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations, of all people the world over, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are the beginnings of the church. 2,000 years ago, and here we still are. If there's hope for them who can't bring themselves to stay awake and watch for 1 hour, friends, there is hope for us. Amen?
Amen.
And if nothing else today, hang your hat on that. That there is hope for us, just as there was hope for those early disciples who, when faced with challenge, when faced with adversity, yeah, they couldn't stay awake. When it got too tough, they ran away. But they didn't quit. They didn't give up. They kept coming back. They kept coming back to God and praying and asking for strength and courage and grace. When Jesus began his ministry, he said, the kingdom of God is here. Now is the time. It's like, don't go to sleep. Now is the time. Watch. Stay awake and watch. Now's the time to change your hearts and change your lives. And that, my friends, is a message of hope this day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.